Give me hope. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2020. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions into questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, I believe we're in Romans 8, so we'll pick up there. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Papa, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason to him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of our children, of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that dieth, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the book of Romans, chapter 8. Okay, tonight we're just going to start off and talking a little bit about a paper we wrote and a lawsuit we're filing. I was going to file it today directly because I heard that the county was supposed to open up on the 8th. But I called up this morning and they wouldn't open, so I filed it by mail. They said they'd take a filing by mail, so we filed it by mail. I'm waiting for the index number to get back. For anybody to take wants to take a look at this paper, you can find it under the grand jury. And let's see, it's down towards the bottom, action against YouTube. Well, I guess we'll open it up here. This is the page we're on right now, action against YouTube. And the action, with all of the evidence, it's 122 pages, but the paper itself is only 20 pages long. We're not going to read it tonight. We're just going to talk a little bit about it, make people aware of this particular lawsuit. YouTube shut us down for 3 days, and but we're not suing them directly because of those 3 days. We're suing them on behalf of all the people because of their silencing free speech throughout the internet. But it is more than YouTube. YouTube is owned by Alphabet Inc., and that's the parent company, so we're suing them too. Google and YouTube, I believe, is also owned by Alphabet Inc. Facebook, I'm not too sure of, and Twitter. But anyway, collectively, these companies are worth more than $1.2 billion. So they're pretty big companies. And so we're suing them for violating our right of due process, I mean the right of free speech. And again, like I said, I'm not going to necessarily read through all of this. I might read a paragraph or two. I'll just read a couple of paragraphs. So the United States of America is in danger of being destroyed by the deep state. New World Order's federal judiciary, its mocking media monopoly, and its big tech giants, all these in harmony to deny a Republican form of government by burying the truth and replacing self-evident truth with socialism via political correctness. The damage done to the people will take a generation to repair via a proper and classical education, where people are taught their heritage and how to think and not what to think. The defendants are self-appointed authoritarians that claim to acknowledge and recognize the importance of people to feel empowered and to have the liberty to freely express themselves, thereby bearing witness against themselves as wrongdoers, as they conspire with others to deprive the people of their unalienable right of free speech under the color of custom, by force in violation of the law of the land, specifically Amendment 1, 18 U.S.C. 2, subsection 242, and 42 U.S.C. subsection 1985. Now, we're not pursuing any criminal complaints against these people. I think they should get, indictments, potential indictments against all of these individuals. But we'll leave that up to Barr, Attorney General Barr, because I'm pretty sure from listening to his talking, they're going to be going after these people because they are partakers in the subversion to take down America. But we're going after them monetarily, and we're going after them for quite a bit of money. And what we're going to do with that money is educate the people. We will turn NLA if we can get a hold of this money. And I do think the possibility is very possible because there's a couple of things that they may do or may not do. But in any event, on the other side of things, I believe the bottom line, this will be whatever ends up coming up will be obeyed. But I suspect strongly they're going to end up defaulting. Of course, they're going to try to throw us out under Rule 12, and we're going to be ready for that. Now, we thought about how to file this thing, and we decided to file this in the New York State State Court, Supreme Court, in Dutchess County. And we're filing only an index number, and so we're not filing. Here in New York, you get to pay for it from two different perspectives. One's an index number, which cost us $210 to get. We're going to ask for our money back, too, when we see the judge, or shall I say the magistrate. And so the other filing, which costs $95, is a request for judicial intervention. We're not asking for judicial intervention. We're coming in only to file the papers for a court of record. If we get to certain points, let's say if they don't default and we get to certain, well, even if they do, well, let me think about that. If they default, they default. But if they answer, which is doubtful, we will pull a jury of 12 people from within National Liberty Alliance and bring the case before them and let them decide. the case is pretty clear-cut, and their defense against that should be pretty clear-cut. Of course, they're unable to really defend themselves, but it's just a matter of responding and answering the questions and then ultimately for the jury to decide on that. But we'll see how things go on that. So we're filing it in the state court. Now, we do perceive that we're going to the other side. Whenever I file a case in New York State, I never pay for a judicial intervention. The other side will, once they see that there is nothing, no one's paid for the judicial intervention, and they get upset with you, and they write you a letter, and so on and so forth, and then they end up paying the $95 because they want to get in there real quick, see the judge, so they can get this case just shut down and thrown out. If the judge sticks his toes into places where he doesn't belong, because this is a common law procedure, then we will then move it to federal court for cause, and we'll move it into the Northern District. Now, if they do file the papers to get a judicial intervention, And we do get a hearing. I'd like to alert to everyone right now, anybody who could make it out to this case, it'll be extremely important to come and sit and bear witness in this case. We may go in there all as the grand jury. You know, we'll maybe make some name tags and have grand jury on it. But we'll see how we will organize that. But we would like anybody who is within reasonable distance that could make it to this case to definitely make it. I should suspect most of the people in the southern and the eastern district of New York should be able to get to this case. Some people from Connecticut and Jersey, and maybe even some people from certain parts of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is, let me think, probably about an hour and 10 minutes to get to PA, maybe less than that. So the northern part of PA. But in any event, you know, we would like to get as many people as possible. But we're not going to permit this judge to make any decisions in this court. We're going to make it very clear to him that they don't have the authority, that this is a court of record. And that if you're going to start continuing in that down that road or trying to interfere with a court of record, then you need to recuse yourself. But again, if the judge is forceful against us, and we're not going to permit him to set up for a second meeting, you know, this will be a one-time thing that we would come in, and we'll tell him we're denying this. So we object to this whole process. These people didn't even answer yet. When these people answer, maybe we'll have a little meeting here. But at this point, there's no need for that. And if they try to push things away, I'll make a decision. I'll let you know. We'll object to that. We'll deny it. We'll move for cause immediately. Matter of fact, we will probably have all the papers written up in our back pocket, so to speak, and serve it right there and then. But we'll see how it happens. Now, we were suing for quite a bit of money. I originally, you know, was going to sue for $1 billion, which is a huge amount of money. And what we could do with $1 billion is just unbelievable. All of the different books that we can put out, information, we would become, National Liberty Alliance would become on the people really involved in doing the work and organizing and working on a full-time basis or even a part-time basis, will be paid, which the intention at some point in time that'll happen anyway.
Hey, we could become the George Soros of the Constitution.
There you go. But we will eventually become a professional system or organization, if you want to call that. The monies would, you know, we already know where the money's going to come from once we get into the process. The idea is that when we get all of the administrators in each of the counties, then each county would have to put up $100 a month for the sole purpose of supporting a supporting website for its purpose. And its purpose is a lot more, of course, than the administrations for the grand jury and the trial jury. It's also for the militia and the committeemen and the projects that we need to pursue. We also need to get a really, really good plan going for our schools. We must return our schools back to a school that report teachings that that support a Republican form of government, because right now, whether people know it or not, your children are being taught to be socialists, and it's a major problem. We need to turn that around. We the people, and as general, we need to really come to an understanding of our roots, an understanding of our heritage, an understanding of our founding documents. And we have to make sure we get it into our school, to our children. And we have to encourage parents that have children in school to get involved and be active and get involved in what their children are being taught. And we need to move, again, to a classical education, which is it's a necessity for any true free nation, must have a classical education, which teaches people how to think, stimulates people, you know, through the different courses that are, or, you know, given to our children. Anyway, this is the plan that we must do. But anyway, after discussing it with other people, looking into the value of these companies, we decided to go forward. I believe it was for $4 billion. Huge amount of money. If we get that kind of money, of course, the grand jury is suing on behalf of the people, and the facilitator for that and the funds and everything would be National Liberty Alliance. And at that point in time, of course, we would give an accounting to the people and to everyone, every penny that we would spend at that point in time. But in any event, we'd be very careful on how we'd spend the money, and we definitely, organizing and moving this program that we have, would happen at light speed. It would really just mobilize us and move us right down the road. But anyway, people should read the paper. I'm not going to read all this paper. I might read it. I'm going to go down to the wherefore clause maybe, or a couple of paragraphs down there, and we'll read them. And then when people want to talk about this, we'll talk about it. And again, people need to read this. You know, you can find it on our site. Again, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Highlight Grand Jury, come down to Action Against the YouTube, and this is where you'll find the very first paper. We'll write some information introducing this case. I just threw this page up today. And the paper right now does not have a date on it. It may have a date in the bottom. I don't remember. Matter of fact, I know it does. But we don't have is the index number. But we'll get that up there soon. Okay, but going back to this paper here and a lawsuit, you know, after looking into the evidence was very easily found, and we were able to collect it pretty good, pretty quickly, and we gave a synopsis of each piece of evidence that is attached to, for instance, this case is there was a paper, there are top 10 most outrageous censorship stories, okay, and this paper is attached to this, so you can read them on the bottom. Like I said, this is 122 pages altogether, but the action itself is only 20 pages long. Let me just read a couple of these paragraphs. I think that might be important to appreciate. Yeah, I'll pick up on this one. Free speech is the bedrock of American democracy. Our founding fathers protected this sacred right with the First Amendment to the Constitution. The freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation for all. In fact, let me introduce you to what we're reading here, because this is a paper that is attached, dated May 28, 2020, written, the President Donald Trump signed an executive order preventing online censorship, and this is what he stated in that paper. Free speech is the bedrock of American democracy. Our founding fathers protected this sacred right with the First Amendment to the Constitution. The freedom to express and debate ideas is the foundation of all of our rights as a free people. In a country that has long cherished the freedom of expression, we cannot allow a limited number of online platforms to handpick the speech that Americans may access and convey on the Internet. This practice is fundamentally un-American and anti-democratic. When large, powerful social media companies censor opinions with which they disagree, they exercise a dangerous power. Today, many Americans follow the news, stay in touch with friends and family, and share their views on current events through social media and other online platforms. As a result, these platforms function in many ways as a 21st century equivalent of the public square. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube wield immense, if not unprecedented, power to shape the interpretation of public events, to censor, delete, or disappear information, and to control what people see or do not see. Such debate is just as important online as it is in our universities, our town halls, and our homes. It is essential to sustaining our democracy. By the way, this paper, when we were writing this paper, this was not out yet. And we had this paper pretty much done. We were working through perfection. And then all of a sudden, we heard about the president filing an executive order preventing online censorship. We went up and looked at it, and we decided to incorporate it into our paper. And to a certain degree,
we have made the same position that the president just made here in this paragraph, that, you know, it's like being in the street corner or in the mall or on a conference call. The same thing online. This is needs to be open and free debate and information, and no one should control and decide who sees what and who doesn't see what according to their will. Nobody should have that power. But in any event, we made the same positions from different perspectives and with a lot more information, detail, and research concerning those conclusions. But anyway, let me read on. Again, we're only reading a few paragraphs here. In May of 2019, the White House launched a tech bias reporting tool to allow Americans to report incidents of online censorship. In just weeks, the White House received over 16,000 complaints of online platform censoring or otherwise taken action against users based on their political viewpoints. I'm going to jump down here. As a nation, we must foster and protect diverse viewpoints in today's digital communications environment where all Americans can and should have a voice. We must seek transparency and accountability from online platforms and encourage standards and tools to protect and preserve the integrity and the openness of American discourse and freedom of expression. Let's see if I want to read any more. I guess here, Section 230, he is talking about some law that's out there that protects individuals, but it doesn't. This doesn't work for this. It really works about really censorshipping things that, you know, pornography and things of that nature. So Section 230 was not intended to allow a handful of companies to grow into titans controlling vital avenues for our national discourse under the guise of promoting open forums for debate, and then to provide those behemoth blanket immunity when they use their powers to censor contents and silence viewpoints that they dislike. Okay, the Federal Review of Unfair, this is the end of his paper, by the way, the end and review of review or deceptive acts or practices. It is the policy of the United States that large online platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, as the critical means of promoting the free flow of speech and ideas today, should not restrict protected speech. The Supreme Court has noted that social media sites, as the modern public square, can provide perhaps the most powerful mechanisms available to a private citizen to make his or her voice heard. And that is the case of Packingham versus North Carolina. And here's our wherefore clause. Wherefore, we the people, via the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, being more than 8,600 people, sue the defendants on behalf of all the people. In the case of Bergstahl, the Supreme Court wrote that the amount awarded shall be precisely commensurate with the injury suffered, neither more nor less. We the people, via the Declaration of Independence, ordained a government by the consent of the governed. Thomas Jefferson said enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the powerful, for the proper functioning of a republic. And that self-governing government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. During the 20th century, government via the deep state phased out that suitable education. Today, our children in government-funded schools are being indoctrinated into socialism under the guise of democracy. Hollywood, the mainstream media, and social media giants, namely the defendants, reinforce that socialist agenda, thereby destroying in the minds of our children the just republic our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortune, and sacred honor to secure. along with so many other patriots in the past centuries that have given their lives also to secure our heritage, the blessings of liberty. The damages are incalculable, and the only solution to counteract the assault upon our Republican heritage is that suitable education that Jefferson spoke about for all its citizens. We, the people, must educate and inform the whole mass of the people. National Liberty Alliance, by the power of the widow's might, have been facilitating for the organizing, communication, and education for the common law grand and petit juries, the elected committeemen, the militia, and our sheriffs as the grassroots at the grassroots level in all 3,133 counties. The common law demands that for every injury there must be a remedy. It is therefore a just remedy that these billions-dollar giants that have deliberately poisoned the minds of the people should fund the restoration of the people's heritage. Alphabet, Inc. is worth about $517.8 billion. Google, about $200 billion. YouTube, about $86.2 billion. Facebook, about $527 billion. And Twitter, about $4.4 billion. Collectively, the defendants are valued at over $1 trillion. Therefore, we believe an appropriate penalty for the injuries suffered would be to restore the people by informing and educating them. Plaintiffs demand that the defendants cease from restricting their speech over the Internet and fund a re-education program via National Liberty Alliance for the people at a cost of $4 billion. Verified under seal, Dutchess County, New York, June 8, 2020. Sureties of the Peace, Grand Jury Foreman, and a Jury Administrator. Signed both. Now, taking this into the court, again, like I said, we're going to pull together 12 people to sit as jurists, and we'll pull them from amongst our ranks, and we'll make a decision. Now, if they default, and that possibility is there, if they default, then we will just push this judge to give us a summary judgment, and we'll get it straight from the New York State Supreme Court. And we'll see how it goes. But in any event, I'm sure they're going to fight, and I'm sure they're going to try to get a hearing. I'm sure the judge is going to oblige that hearing. We're going to shut that judge down, and we're going to need as many people as possible on that day. We will keep you informed. The moment we know the day and the hour we're going to be in that court, we will start sending out emails, and we'll definitely be announcing it on the Monday night programs and getting that word out as much as possible. Anyway, after these 20 pages, we have all of the evidence. This is one with the media monopoly. You know, this is actually a document that I had found many years ago, back in 2008. I wonder why this isn't coming up. Oh, okay, I guess it's generating a view here or something. But here you can see it talks about, you know, the only all of these different news medias, the ultimate, the big ones, is owned by five corporations. I understand now there's six corporations involved, six major corporations. They're all connected. But they control the news, generally speaking. They even control Fox's news, Fox News. And it's surprising that we're able to get some real good news out of some of the individuals that are there at Fox, and they haven't shut them down. But, you know, anyway, so people should read this paper and go through these documents and see once what they think. And again, be prepared to for those people close by to respond at our court hearing. And again, please respond if you're requested to be a jurist. And we'll take it from there. Okay, let's see, what is this? This is the cover index to Microsoft. I guess this is the cover of that. I guess I got it open twice. That's why I'm confused. Let me see. Yeah, it's the same document, just open twice. Okay. All right. I guess we'll move over. We're going to move to questions pretty quick today, but let me ask Jan, do we have any questions that need to be responded to?
Yes, we have a. First, we have three or two questions left over that were for Brent last week we didn't get to, so I guess we can do those when he comes.
Okay, let's hold them off till Brent comes up, and you know, when Brent comes in, we'll ask him. Right? I'll try to remember to remind you.
Okay, I'll do it. Then we have several others too. The first is, could you please elaborate on the Ninth Amendment to the Bill of Rights? This amendment is seldom discussed and represents protections and benefits not known to many people.
Yeah, I think we covered this last week, but we'll cover it again. It's a good one. It reads like this. This is the Ninth Amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. When these first 10 amendments were put together, of course, we called it the Bill of Rights, and our founding fathers refused, not all of them, but many of them, refused to sign on, shall I say states, many states, refused to sign on to the Constitution because they saw that there could be some problem. But it would be the Bill of Rights, which is the capstone, that is the controlling factor of the Constitution. In other words, the Constitution must be read in light of our unalienable rights. In other words, if you read something in the Constitution and you start to interpret it in such a way that it is repugnant to our unalienable rights, or even to other things in the Constitution, like in Section 10 and of Article 1, Section 10, I think Section 9 also, 9 and 10, I think, have some very powerful statements that the Constitution needs to be read in light of. But the Bill of Rights, again, was written in order to really neutralize the evils that could come about by misinterpretation. And as a matter of fact, let me read this if I can find it. I got a page missing in this one. Hold on a second. Let me find a bunch of constitutions here somewhere. We have them on my desk. Here's another one. Let me take a look at this one. Okay, let me read the introduction to the Constitution. This is the preamble to the Constitution. The conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the grounds of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. And then there's some other things, of course, resolved in articles and so on, and then the Ten Amendments are written up. Now, what the Ninth Amendment is really making the point is, don't think that this is all of our rights. No, this is not all of our rights, but these are a lot of our fundamental rights: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the ability to protect ourselves, to have arms, to bear arms, to have a militia, and so on. Making sure that due process is adhered to by our government, and also that the government doesn't get to decide who they want to prosecute the people. Only the people can do that through the grand juries. So the government must come and request a prosecution against someone to the people and ask the people, we want to prosecute this person for these charges, and the people can say yay or nay. Again, if we lose that power and authority, which at this point we have lost that, but we can regain it back. It's still there, and opportunity is still here. The window of opportunity is short, though. We have to do it, and it's got to be done now, at this time period, as we're moving in to taking down the deep state. So, for instance, to write to travel, and I've heard judges say, well, you can travel all you want, but that doesn't mean you have to do it in the car. Well, today people live and work 20, 50, 100 miles sometimes, but 10, 20 miles away from places, and they want to go on vacation and do things and go shopping and everything. What are you telling me? You got to walk? No, we have a right to travel and use a vehicle. It is my opinion My belief, and I'm going to push for this, it is important that the grammar school and the high school, or secondary school, whatever you want to call it, I think secondary school is a good name for it, but the grammar in the secondary school is responsible to teach and give all the necessary tools to our children in order to be able to exercise their liberties. And that would include how to handle a weapon. That would include how to drive a vehicle. All of these things should be taught in school, along with, and most importantly, you know, our heritage, who we are as a people, who are Americans, where do we come from, what is the foundation, you know, what God are we talking about? You know, all these are answered by our founding fathers. Our foundation is clear and rings out loud exactly who we are as a people. And so the Constitution and the purpose of government is to protect the people. And, you know, there are six reasons for government, and I'll just read them real quickly. It's in the preamble to the Constitution itself. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, that's the purpose. Order to establish justice, that's the purpose. To ensure domestic tranquility, that's the purpose. To provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare, these are the purposes. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, and therefore we do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. But it's key here not to protect our liberties, but to protect the blessings of our liberty. Liberty is a blessing. It comes from God. You gain it only from God himself. It's, you know, unalienable or inalienable. It means the same. So these rights are unalienable or inalienable. And it's a blessing that comes from God. And our founding fathers received and found that blessing, and through the Declaration of Independence, made a covenant with God, and thereby is the foundation that we are going to be under the laws of nature's God. That's the foundation of who we are as a people. That's where we begin. And our Constitution sits on top of that foundation, and the Bill of Rights is the crown, the capstone, that protects that Constitution from logically speaking and making it clear that don't tread on us. Okay, so many, many rights. That's what the purpose of the Ninth Amendment. And I'll let, you know, you go into a court, you can tell the judge, I'll let you know what my rights are when the time comes. You know, well, that's one of my rights. You can't do that to me, whatever it is. You know, you can make up any right you want as long as you don't harm another person. You have a right to do things. As long as you don't put people in harm's way, you have a right to do whatever you wish. Just don't do no wrongdoing. All right. Any other questions?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's scary.
Next question. Am I correct in believing the county sheriff has the legal and moral authority? And somebody has a mic open.
Maybe it's me. Let me see. Go ahead.
Okay.
See if mine's bouncing yet.
To call the local militia in to destroy these violent thugs protesting in the cities. And furthermore, we the people cannot be charged for any crimes if we have to shoot to kill. Question mark.
Okay. Well, I just had to unmute myself. Well, I think we answered this last week, but we'll answer it again. You know, you have a right to defend yourself. I watched some of these pictures. I couldn't watch too much of it. It's too depressing. I grew up watching the riots back in riots in the 60s and the 70s, wasn't there? And then there was again in 90s, 92, we had Watts, right?
Yeah.
And I remember those riots, and I remember watching them on TV. It was sickening. And today, you know, I just couldn't watch much, but I did watch a few here or there. And I seen this truck driver being pulled out of his truck. I seen people pull out of cars. And I thought to myself, what would I do if I was driving through that neighborhood? Well, I should hope I'd be armed. And when I travel, I usually am armed. But in any event, I would hope I'd be armed. And if I was, if I had to shoot, I would shoot to kill in order to escape them killing me. So anybody trying to pull me out of my vehicle would get a few lead pellets from me. And so that, of course, is, self-defense. Now, I wouldn't be shooting people in the streets that are doing wrong as if I'm the officer, or some police officer to do those things. This is what the police is for. And that's why it's so disgusting what all these governors and mayors are doing, preventing the police from going forward in some of these areas and just allowing these people total wreckage and carnage on these things, people's business, their livelihood, lives are being injured. And I'm sure, I'm not sure I heard how many, if any, people were killed during this process. And this is all in name, so they claim, of course, and we're talking now about our political leaders and the people in government that control these police forces or don't control them, but control them, that they claim that this is all about an individual being murdered. So they have the right to go kill other people, to destroy other people's property, and to do all these terrible things. So anyway... Again, if I was a business owner and I was down there and I was defending my store, I should hope I'd have some shotgun with me and my whatever other weapons I could have. And, yeah, I would do what I had to do to protect myself and my property. And could be a problem in some of these cities, though, because they're so liberal-minded and you'd be the bad guy to them. Because, after all, they're just expressing their freedom of speech. Dare not do it online, though, because you can't express your freedom of speech online. Anyway, I mentioned last week also that the sheriffs can take control of this process, and they should. But, again, a lot of these cities, I don't think they have sheriffs. Maybe they do. I know here in New York City, they have a sheriff that's appointed by, I guess, the mayor. I'm not sure who appoints. I would presume it would be the mayor. So we have five counties, five boroughs that do not have sheriffs. So that's pretty pitiful. I feel sorry for Connecticut. Connecticut has no sheriffs. Alaska, no sheriffs. Anyway, next question.
Would NLA agree that this situation with countywide protests, riots, and discussions of disbanding police forces would warrant calling forth the militia, even more so than when the militia first started organizing during the dilemma with Governor Northam in Virginia over gun control measures? This issue seems to have sort of lost momentum over the last several months.
Well, look at President told these governors and mayors of cities and so on and so forth that they have that power and authority to pull the militia and to back up the police and that they should do it. But they don't want to do that because they want the craziness. They need all of this to take place in order for them to achieve their goals, which really is to create chaos and try to win the election back and get rid of Trump and bring us back under their totalitarianism. But I know the president has sent forces around the United States to different places just to be prepared, and he hasn't brought them into play. And I think if he has to, he will. Some people think that he should have done it already. I kind of was thinking that too for a while, but then I was thinking about it and listening to others speak about it, and I realized he's got to allow the people to see who these people are and what they're doing. And it is up to the governor. It is up to the mayors of the cities and the governors to take care of this business and the federal government to do it if they don't. So at some point in time, if it's necessary, I do believe, no doubt in my mind, he's going to do it. But hopefully he won't have to, and it may be that he won't have to do it. So we'll see what happens with that. But we have to, we don't have all of the details, the inside information. We don't really know what the consequences are for this and that. We don't know what's really boiling in the background, what's happening where. And so when we think it should have been done by now, maybe timing isn't right for it yet, so we have to leave that into the hands of the president. It was on one other thing. Getting to slip my mind. All right, well, anyway, that's all I could think of at the moment. Next question.
Okay, this is a little bit long. There are over 1 million people in New York State that have had their driver's license suspended unconstitutionally based on a newly created counterfeit law in 2013. I was victimized by this counterfeit law. I immediately disputed the newly concocted bill that came with a non-validated debt. I went to the tax tribunal and challenged the debt and found that there was not even one affidavit for the alleged debt. I won. The matter was discontinued with prejudice. Plus, I asked for the authority to suspend my license, and I was given an unsigned tax warrant. The unsigned tax warrant was criminally used as an authority to suspend my good standing driver's license. The suspension was removed. 6 months later, they put it back, and I have been fighting it for over 7 years. What can I do? Did I lose you, John?
Are you muted, John?
Can you hear me, Terry?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
But I don't hear John.
I don't either. He dropped off the panel.
Yeah, I don't even see him on the call anymore.
No, he lost it. They didn't want to address that question, I guess.
I guess.
It was just too much for him.
I think he wanted to address the question is just
right.
His equipment isn't cooperating. His network isn't cooperating.
I know he uses a battery-powered mic. It may have died on him. But
oh, that's possible, too, and he's got to scramble around for batteries.
Yeah. And then he'll have to recall in.
Oh, I know what I can do. Any wireless caller, can you give me your first name and state? Any wireless caller, let's see, 2512-9580-9689. Those are our wireless callers tonight. So if you can give me a name and state, I appreciate it. I guess they're a little shy. Oh, wait. It's Q&A session. They can't unmute.
They can't talk. Yeah, they're muted.
Two five one two. Can I get a name and a state? Nine five eight zero. Can I get a first name and a state?
Have you seen Brent here yet, Terry? I don't see.
I haven't been looking.
Oh, okay. But I do have two questions for Brent if he happens to be on the list.
9689. Can I get first name in the state? Okay, I'll turn it over to Brent then.
I'm still looking.
Nope, I don't see that he's here tonight. Or at least not yet. How about Gerard? Gerard?
Mute.
You want to unmute yourself and talk?
He must have gone for more chips.
Must have. Well,
I
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
What happened?
John went away somehow. He's dropped off the panel.
I was on a call, so I had to take a call. So
okay.
And then he was calling me. I don't know. So then I hung up on the call and came back in. So I don't know what I should have maybe answered that. Where are we? Is Brent here?
No, Brent is not here yet. And I just read a long question for John on automobile stuff.
He must have got knocked off, but he dialed my phone. Cell phone.
Just Skyped him and let him know he's not here.
He was probably still talking until you did that.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
Nah, but he called me, so he knows something's wrong. He's having some kind of problem.
Yeah.
I don't know maybe I should try to call him on my cell. Just give me a minute. Just take a second. Let me see if I can get him back on the phone. Let's see if this will work. I'm trying to Skype. If this doesn't work, I'll try his cell phone. Yeah. Hung up. Ringing. Three ringy dingy. Oh, that's what we figured. All right. So. Really? What did you say that upset them, is that they cut your cable? Listen, I had a phone call, and I took the phone call, and when I go on the phone like that, it kind of mutes the call I'm on. So I didn't know what was going on. Next thing I know, no, I was talking to somebody. I left the call for a few minutes because a call came in. Next thing I know, you're ringing in my ear, and I said, that's John. I got to go. Something's wrong. Anyway, everybody's waiting for you. They can hear me because I am on the call. Yeah. Yep, I will, and I don't think Brent's in there yet or where. It doesn't matter. We'll just continue on. So if you can get in, otherwise. Yep, okay, I'll do that. Yep, okay, bye.
Any prospects for John getting back on?
I can fill in a little bit of time till John gets back if you want, Gerard. I think you can too.
Go right ahead.
I just finished reading the book, We Hold These Truths to Be Self-Evident by Oliver DeMille, and I was very impressed. He comes along with the natural laws. Can you still hear me?
He almost went away.
Okay.
Hello. Can
Hi,
you hear me?
Hi, Gerard.
I could hear you. You couldn't hear me.
That's right.
John is trying to get on. He thinks he lost his cable, and we're going to continue without him for now or whatever.
Okay.
I guess you were in the middle of answering questions, right?
Yeah, I had a nice long one. You want me to reread it?
Yeah, read it. And then, you know, once we get through that, then Terry, you can help me or whatever. We'll continue. We'll make it. Go ahead. Give me the question.
Okay. There are over 1 million people in New York State that have had their driver's licenses suspended unconstitutionally based on a newly created counterfeit law in 2013. I was victimized by this counterfeit law. I immediately disputed the newly concocted bill that came with the non-validated debt. I went to the tax tribunal and challenged the debt and found that there was not even one affidavit for the alleged debt. I won. The matter was discontinued with prejudice. Plus, I was asked for the authority to suspend my license, and I was given an unsigned tax warrant. The unsigned tax warrant was criminally used as authority to suspend my good standing driver's license. The suspension was removed. 6 months later, they put it back, and I've been fighting for over 7 years. What can I do?
Boy, I have no idea by what law they're talking about. Listen, the driver's license is kind of an unconstitutional thing to begin with. It's a commercial thing if you're not in commerce. So the whole thing is a fraud to begin with. So, you know, do you go into the fraud court and fight? I mean, it sounds like whoever this person is, they've been fighting pretty good. They didn't tell me what that law was. They say 2013 this came about.
It was Motor Vehicle Law 171.
Yeah, whatever that is. And it sounds to me like it might be something where if you owe child support or something, they could take your driver's license away, which is such a counterproductive law. I don't know why they would approve such a thing. How are you going to work in New York State if you don't have a driver's license, you know?
You're right.
It sounds like they had a tax bill for them, and because they didn't pay the bill, they suspended the license, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they fought it because there was no sworn affidavits, so they dismissed it with prejudice, which means they can't come back, but yet they came back. So that's double jeopardy. That's double jeopardy right there. I don't know how, you know, I look at the only way to fight this, in my opinion, would be to take it to federal court for cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like the whole thing is a bunch of gobbledygook bullcrap, you know? Right. And I can't even see you winning it. How's New York State how are you gonna win it in New York State? We don't have any judges that are gonna slap themselves or stop the state. They just don't do that. You would normally, you know. So I would say to move it to federal court for cause, and we have that paperwork on our site, you know, if they wanna know how to do it. I mean, they could sign up with our amicus, but you know, that's not going to move until everything else moves. I would go ahead and start the case myself in federal court against it. And just the fact that you go out and get an index number in the federal court, you file the thing in federal court, sometimes that's enough for them to break loose. They don't want to go there because they know if they actually go through the federal court, they're going to lose more than they gain. So I think the best advice I can give that person is to go ahead and move it to federal court for cause, because it's obviously a federal issue. The whole driver's thing's a federal issue to begin with, you know. So okay. That's the best advice I can give there. Okay, got another one?
Yep. How do we secure our assets since they are all listed in our all caps name?
Well, that's something that I'm hoping we don't have to worry about when we get on the other side of this, that's all going to go away. And if that's going to go away when the money system changes. Look, Trump has moved the Federal Reserve into the Treasury. That's the first step. Now, there's things you can do to get yourself out of the all caps thing, and it's a bunch of gobbledygook, and they fight you, and you'll be years fighting them, you know. You could take your assets and you could move. There's different ways of putting them in trust and using real money, but I can't get into that. I'm not an expert on that or anything. And certainly if you have any kind of appreciable assets, you should be thinking about securing them. Number one, you know, in a trust of some sort that they can't penetrate. And number two, you want to be using real money, gold and silver. That's the only way, because they have control over everything else. You know, I don't know what better answer I can give, you know, how to secure it. You know, number one, the best way to secure your property is to pay it off and get it in your own name. And you know, if you do a land patent, you know, you could remove that all caps name. You could remove the fact that it says that you're a tenant on the land. No, you're a private property. So, you know, you should be trying to move your deeds out of that system, and you should be paying any mortgages off, because that keeps you in that fiat money system that they're able to come after you with, you know, and your house is under that. You could lose it, you know, when they start moving against people. But I'm really, really believing that if we get rid of the Federal Reserve and income tax, that your assets are going to not be in that all caps name, because that all caps name is going to go away when income tax goes away. And at least that's my take on it. Okay, that's the best I can tell you.
Good. Next one is a little long. I have an upcoming hearing on a motion to dismiss the lawsuit that I filed against several entities here in Florida. These include the circuit court, one judge, one magistrate, the county that took me to jurisdictions unknown. They filed a motion to dismiss my lawsuit and have a judge who works for the circuit court and county that I am suing going to decide the case. I motioned for a change of venue because of the pending bias and conflict of interest in this case. My motion to change venue has not been ruled upon, yet the court is moving forward for what might be a kangaroo hearing. Do you think that I should proceed under protest or duress so that they don't default me? The hearing is this coming Thursday. Appreciate a quick response.
Well, the biggest problem I can see is you're suing these judges, and you're not in a common law court. You're in their kangaroo court, and they're going to do exactly what they want to do, and I don't care what kind of case you have, you're not going to get justice there. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the case. And you know, in today's world, they don't even believe that you can sue a judge. They got statutes that say that you can't sue the judge. They're going to throw your case out on one of the... They got a million ways to throw that case out. But, you know, suing the judge, that's the biggest one that they won't let happen, because they got to protect the judges, because that's their cash cow, their piggy bank. Those judges bring a lot of money in by putting people in jail and doing what they're doing. So they don't let you sue a judge very easily. I don't believe that you're going to prevail no matter what you do in their court. And this whole business, you know, we're trying to open up a common law court. We're trying to seat a common law grand jury someplace. That's our goals, because those are the things that are going to save you. You can sit there and fight with them all day long, and they're just going to run you around the mulberry bush until your last dollar is gone, and you're never going to get justice in their court. You're just not. Look at how long we've been banging around, and the horror stories we have. They don't care. They got statutory rules that are unconstitutional, and they throw people out every single day. So I wish I could say something better, but it doesn't. To me, you're in the wrong court. You know, you should have been challenging jurisdiction. That's the only thing that you can do at this point. You can challenge the jurisdiction, except you're the plaintiff. You're not the defendant. You're suing them. So, you know, if you're going to sue them and you're going to attack them, you're still doing it in their court. You're in the wrong court. They're going to just dismiss it. I don't know what to tell you. Okay?
Okay. I have two questions for Brent, and I see Brent dropped in. Can you unmute yourself, Brent? We got two questions for you, or maybe I can. Let me see.
I got it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can you hear us, Brent?
Yes.
Okay. First question. Where is the Code of Justinian taught today?
The principles of the Code of Justinian are taught to law students in every country of the world, almost, with the exception of common law countries. Even Islamic countries follow the principles of the law of the Code of Justinian, although Islamic countries don't forthrightly and expressly use the code. Most all other countries do. All the countries of South America, all the communist countries, all the countries of the world, except generally speaking, the English-speaking world, are under some form of the Code of Justinian. Justinian was a Roman emperor of the Roman Empire during the 6th century. And during the 600s, now that's the way I remember it. And he decided that he was going to have compiled all the principles of the law of the city as far back as they can reach, his legal beagles, and they gathered all the decretals and all the rescripts of all the popes of Rome, all the emperors of Rome, all the emperors of all the Babylonian cities, states that they could gather, everything from Babylon to Nineveh to Pergamos. It's all the same throughout the world. They gathered all up they could, and they compiled this code, and they said it was the Logos. If you remember, the Logos is the Greek words of the John chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with Him." And the word translated word, the Greek word translated word, is Logos. And Justinian said, along with the Roman popes, that the Logos is the code of Justinian. Of course, in John 1:1, the Logos is Jesus Christ. It's key to the understanding of the writings of John, not to mention the rest of the New Testament, to understand what the Logos is. Well, it's Jesus Christ. It's not a thing. It's not a method. It's a man who is God. That's the whole point of the Logos. Well, the Code of Justinian said, no, this is the Logos. And then by the 10th century, in fact, in the year 1053, the Pope of Rome declared the Code of Justinian to be the highest expression of the human mind, of any mind, including God's, and established a university, the first university of the world, at a place called Bologna. That's why we say things are baloney today, because that's where the first university was established, was Bologna, Italy. And it was called a university because all around the university revolved, una means oneness, and versus means to turn. And all around the university then turned all the colleges, the College of Astronomy, the College of Medicine, the College of Physics, and then in the center was the Code of Justinian. And the Code of Justinian, the principles of it, are the center of every university of the world, and always have been. That's why they're called universities. To put it maybe a little in another set of terms, the Code of Justinian is an expression of scholasticism, of which Thomas Aquinas made famous, and now that's the official doctrine of Rome. And what scholasticism says is logic. It says logic is natural law. Logic is natural law and reason. Well, that's not true. That was the foundation of the French Enlightenment. It was not the foundation of the Scottish Enlightenment. Logic is not the natural law. The natural law is just the way things are in nature, and that's what the Bible teaches. The Code of Justinian teaches that logic is the natural law. All of the world follows then logic, as Aristotle set it forth, the Greek philosopher. Islamic sage from northern Africa named Averroes was a contemporary with Thomas Aquinas and with the leading Talmudic rabbi of Europe of that day named Maimonides. All three of them were contemporaries, likely knew one another, but Islam is the one that took the writings of Aristotle and inserted them into Europe through Thomas Aquinas and Maimonides. And when that happened, all three of those religions now, still yet today, put logic first. Reason. You see the emphasis of it. You'd hear people talking about how important rational thought is and all that baloney. That's baloney. Rational thought is not the most important thing. Learning how to think is not the most important thing. The most important thing is fact. If you stress, as men do all over the world, in the law of the city, but William Blackstone talks about this in his first volume of his commentaries. He talks about, and he knew the system, he was educated in it, but he was a common lawyer. He talks about how ridiculously stupid and upside down it is to put logic first. Any third grade kid ought to know better. Facts have to come first. Logic is a wonderful tool. But any time logic is stressed, as Merriman says, any time logic is stressed, as you hear it stressed all over the patriot community, people talking about that. Oh, how important it is to think and teach rationalism and understand logic. No, 1,000 times no. Men will think. You don't have to teach men to think. If their butt's in the sling, their brain's going to work right, and that's what's intended. What you have to stress, and what men ought to be trained and conditioned to stress, is the facts of the matter. And our common law is founded upon fact, not logic. The law of the city is founded upon logic, and then it doesn't make any difference what the facts are. They just love to be fancy thinkers and have balanced and eloquent thought. You can see that in the days of the Renaissance of Europe. It was all about logic. That's empty foolishness. Ever learning, said Paul the Apostle, never able to come to a logic, to a knowledge of the truth. And the gospel of God is not based on logic. It's based on fact. You can reason from it, as Paul says. We reasoned with you from the Bible. From the Bible. One-step inferences where necessary. Well, that's the way God wants us to operate, our minds to operate. The Code of Justinian is taught in every country in the world, taught and foremost to the Roman lawyers. There are Roman lawyers all over the world, in all the countries of the world. And it's called, the degree that they receive in those countries is called the Doctor of the Civil and Canon Laws. The Doctorate of the Civil and Canon Laws, because the canon laws of the Roman Church
You roboted out, Brent.
You still
James,
there, Brent?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Terry.
I think we lost Brent now.
It looks like they're going to pick him off one by one, huh?
Yeah, it looks like. Hey, Gerard, are you ready to go again? I think he answered that first question. You have one more, I think. And then, Gerard, if you want to take one from the top of the pile, Q&A, I don't know what John's status is.
Well, I think Brent just came back on. Maybe.
No, I haven't seen him.
5 seconds ago.
When we go to trial in a common law country, we don't talk about logic. What do we do? What do we ask the jury? We ask them who done it, how did he do it, what did he do it with, and why did he do it. And we ask the jury these questions of fact. That's why we call juries finders of fact. That's why we call the trial court the finder of fact, because they are fact finders. Fact come first. You go to an inquisition, and they don't have trials in other countries. They have inquisitions, because the law of the city is all about the will of the state, and you don't try to find out what the facts are. No, not at all. Who done it? What? No, that's not it. You have your pleadings in writing. There is no oral, which means public trial. No trial at all. It's an inquisition. It's just what does the state want to do with the people before the court? And everything is quiet. It's civilized, and it's very soft and pretty, and nobody's moaning and complaining and bitching and arguing in court and screaming at one another like happens. I've been in court before when I've been challenged to a fist fight. Well, that's not unusual. That's the way it works when you're in a common law country and it's an adversarial tradition. We like to fight politely. In other words, fight according to the rules. But it's a fight. It's combat. That's not the way it is in France and Germany and Switzerland and in South America and in the communist countries. No, you go to court, you just do what you're told, and you're very kind about it, and you don't get upset, and you don't get heated. I remember watching the O.J. Simpson trials, and that lawyer for the prosecution the judge threatened to throw him out of the courtroom. He got so heated and passionate. Well, we try to keep it under control, but the truth is, if there's not a fight and things don't get passionate and people don't lock horns and butt heads and insult one another and try to trick one another once in a while on the witness stand, the truth won't come forth. That's why we do that, because the truth is buried, as Paul the Apostle says, Romans 1, is buried under an overburden of unrighteousness. Wrong-headedness, that's what unrighteousness means. Well, there we are. That's where the civil law is all over the world, the Code of Justinian. It primarily occurs in three forms throughout the world. The French form of the Code, which is nothing more than the Code of Justinian with Napoleon's name on it, called Code Napoleon, and Bonaparte just put his name on it because he wanted to take credit for it, and it is a little changed here and there. For example, Vietnam is under the Code Napoleon, always has been. Then there's the German form, which Bismarck, about the year 1900, he put his name on the Code of Justinian, changed it a little, and said this is the code, the law of Germany. And so we call the German form the Code Bismarck. Japan took on the Code of Bismarck, the German form of the code, over 125 years ago. And that's what enabled the emperors of Japan to do what they did. That's what enabled Bismarck and Hitler to do what he did. And then there is the French form. Yeah, I talked the German form, the French form. Louisiana is under a French form of the code, but the French form they're under is the French form of the Code of Justinian that was put in place just before Napoleon put his name on it. So really it's not the Code Napoleon, but it's substantially the same. Same way with Quebec and Canada. They're under a French form of the code that was in place before Bonaparte put his name on the code. And then the third major form of the code is the canon law of the Church of Rome, which is arguably the most dominant because of its deep influence. And the canon law of the Church of Rome is the Bible of the priesthood of Rome. The Bible is not the authoritative book. The canon law of the Church of Rome, the Code of Justinian of the Roman Empire, is the law of the Church of Rome. And the Church of Rome is not the people who take communion or who take the Mass. The Church of Rome is the priesthood only. The Church of Rome is the priesthood only, and every Roman priest. This is the doctrine of Rome, has been for centuries. Every Roman priest is nothing more than a lawyer of the civil and canon laws. That's why they're highly educated in them. Highly educated in the arts of logic, Thomas Aquinas, Aristotle. And they have a reputation for having balanced, elegant, and beautiful thoughts. Trouble is, facts don't matter to them. The thing that matters to them more than anything else, like Blackstone says, is the decretals of the Pope. He rules everything. It doesn't make a difference really what logic says. The astrology. Are the great and common law tradition only wrong more than two? Never been more than two. There will be any more law of the land and the law. And there are combinations of the continuum between those two poles. There isn't anything else, never has been. Once a fella gets that into his head, he understands I'm
Well, we're sorry for our difficulties today. We are at the mercy of the electronic conveniences that we incorporate in our lives. And I think that's where we are. Jan?
Yes?
Do you want me to continue talking about my book?
You might as well. Yeah, I can hear you, and you're the only person I can hear.
So, we hold these truths to be self-evident by Oliver DeMille talked about natural laws. And he's got 12 natural laws, and each chapter takes one. The law of supremacy is that natural law, not man-made law, is supreme. It is the basis of all freedom and success, and all man-made constitutions and laws must adhere to natural law or freedom will decrease. I tend to think that that's true. And please jump in if you have any comments, Jen. The law of authority. In free societies, all government power comes from the people. I think we follow that. Though we're not following it right now, we want to. The law of limits. Free governments only succeed when they are strong and vigorous. And freedom only lasts if their power is effectively limited. And I think we're missing a lot on this one. Let me read that again. The law of limits. Free governments only succeed when they are strong and vigorous. And freedom only lasts if their power is effectively limited. The law of delegation. The people may not delegate to government any power they do not possess by natural law. And that one was a real surprise to me, and it makes perfect sense. The law of force. Humans can only morally use force on other people for self-defense. And government can only morally use force on people for the collective self-defense. Any other use of government power is a violation of natural law. How far have we strayed from that? And the next one is called the law of decline, or what happens to nations who violate natural law. When government breaks natural law, they bring the decline of freedom and the decline of prosperity on their own nation. So if man-made law... Brent can't get back in. Ouch. So Brent might not be back.
Phone number so not working?
Maybe. I don't know. So I'm just going to keep talking for a few more minutes, okay?
Oh, Terry, I got back in.
Yeah, great. Terry. I'm glad.
Oh, well, there was another question. That's a good time to... The system just shut me up on that question. That worked out okay. I talked enough. There was a second question somebody had.
Yes.
And they said it was for Brent.
It was for you, Brent, here. If you can still hear me, I'll read it.
I can.
Okay. As a member of the Pennsylvania Unorganized Militia, could I have lawfully intervened with equal force to have prevented the murder of the black citizen by the police in Minneapolis?
Well, you don't have to be a member of a militia to stop a crime in progress. Anybody who sees a felony in progress, this is the law. This is our common law. I know it's this way in every jurisdiction with variations, but you'd have to check the state. But anybody see a felon in something about being in progress? In other words, just on the verge of being committed, you know somebody's going to commit a felony, like rape or murder or arson, kidnapping, a bad felony, not a misdemeanor. No. You don't have... If you're not a police officer, you don't have, or a law enforcement officer, you don't have lawful jurisdiction to arrest somebody for a misdemeanor. But if someone's committing a felony, you do have authority. Indeed, I think it's arguable you have a duty to stop it if you have the means to do so. Now, there are police officers killing people on the street. Well, it's tough. A decision has to be made. In this case, this Floyd fella, I only know what I read in the papers, as Will Rogers used to say. And it looks to me like he wasn't murdered at all, and it was all set up, and he'd known the guy, the chauffeur, that he'd known him for 17 years, worked with him in the same restaurant. The way I get it from what I read, they were both porn stars. I don't know what stars they were, but they were in a porn film together. They knew each other, that this is all set up. So, being a member of the militia, everybody, every male is a member of the militia, if he's 20 years old at least, and upward, will bear a weapon in battle. That's the militia. That doesn't mean that other people don't have duties. A militiaman, though, between those ages, has additional duties. That's the common law. In every state, they're going to say it's a little different. I'm amazed how much that's amazed, yes. That's all been ignored for a long, long time. Had a fellow tell me just yesterday, he's trying to set up meetings. He wants me to come and talk to a bunch of sheriffs. And he's known the sheriff in his county for a long time. This fellow's been a law enforcement officer in this rural county for 50 years. Nice fella. They're buddies. And he got a hold of my book, that my friend did, and he'd been reading it. And he told me last night, he said to this sheriff, who'd been in law enforcement for years, he's up in his 70s. How many militia clauses the Constitution of the United States comprises? How many does it have? And this guy, just a nice fellow, and honest as the day is long, he said, no, I don't have a clue. He said, there are four. Well, this fellow's been doing his job as a law enforcement officer for 50 years. He didn't feel like he had to know how many clauses were in the Constitution. We're all falling down on the job. I don't focus on him. He's just like the rest of us. He doesn't know what he should know, and he's not doing what he should do. But what should you do? Well, you should know, K-N-O-W, what the Constitution says. Listen, Jesus Christ said, if you're going to swear an oath, you better be awful careful about how you do it. Do not swear broadly, he says. Do not swear generally. Now, as I say this, I hasten to add that I am making statements on my own. I am not speaking for John or Gerard or Jan or anybody else in the leadership of NLA. I'm speaking for myself the way I understand it, and I believe I'm right or wouldn't be saying it. But there may be disagreement about this, but it's clear to me Jesus Christ is saying there, if you swear an oath, do not swear broadly. Do not swear generally. Be very careful and swear narrowly, because everything you swear to, watch this. He says, everything you swear to will be required of you. Where does it say that? It says that in the Old Testament. Well, who's the God of the Old Testament? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Can you hear him, Terry?
No, I cannot. And I had a question come over Discord of all places. It says, I have trouble remembering what free principles the Rules Enabling Act broke. I'm sure I'm not the only one. The Rules Enabling Act was where, in 1934, Congress tried to give the courts, the Supreme Court, and all the courts below it, the ability to make rules. Well, who is the one? Who is the legislative branch is the only one we gave to make rules, to make law. And what they've done is that they tried to give that power to the Article 3 courts. We didn't authorize them to give that power. We, the people, did not give them such a power. And what we've done is... I'll forget. What what they've done is they've taken it and in that same Rules Enabling Act of 1934, the Congress also authorized them to make equity courts and courts at law, which is common law, they could blend them together. And because of that, we've lost. It's gone to, like Brent was talking about, it's gone to logic and not facts. And they try and practice something, but also John talked about this, they try and practice something, but all they know how to do is follow rules, the rules of the court. And they try and determine the facts of the case by following those rules. And it's not the same thing. Well, we didn't authorize them to do that either, to combine equity courts. What I don't remember which amendments it is, but it's like the Sixth and Seventh Amendment. The Seventh Amendment says, in suits at common law, anytime you have at law or at common law, that is common law. Well, there's nothing in here. As a matter of fact, in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. So when's the last time that somebody couldn't appeal a decision? Well, it was before 1934, I can guarantee it. So they fiddled with a bunch of stuff and acted with powers that we did not give them. And it's we the people, under common law, that wrote the Constitution. It wasn't you and me, but our forefathers wrote it in such a way that the responsibility to oversee that government remains with you and I, so that we go on. Did I answer your question, Jim? Let me know. I see a thanks in there, but I hope I answered the question well enough for you. He's typing again, and then I'll finish reading these natural laws. What is natural law? Natural law is the law that God put into each of us, and I can't quote scripture, oh my word, like Brent does. I've read his book, The Excellence of the Common Law, highly recommend it, and it's not the excellence of the common law, it's excellence of the common law. There's no "the" in the front of the title. So I figured Jim would be back by now, but he's still typing, so we'll give him another minute. Natural law is where common law comes from. And I was reading about the law of supremacy earlier. Any man-made law that breaks a natural law, the people will suffer for it at some point. Let's see, Jim said, that's a good high-level view. Thank you. I was hunting down the specific words in the act itself that Congress interpreted incorrectly. I might be imagining it anyway. I will give you a copy of that as soon as I get an opportunity. I'm not talking right now. So I was on the law of decline, or Oliver DeMille also entitles it, these are natural laws. What happens to nations that violate natural law? When governments break natural law, they bring the decline of freedom and the decline of prosperity on their own nation. Have we not done that? I think we have. The law of power, it is the nature of power to try to centralize, and once it is centralized, to attempt to expand its control. Can you name anything that has power that isn't trying to do that? Our government is a big example. Our government has grown. It's put its fingers into more things. And it's always trying to get more and more power, attempt to expand its control. So the law of power. It is the nature of power to try to centralize, and once it is centralized, to attempt to expand its control. The law of gaps. Now, this one's a little harder to understand, but let me read it to you. Freedom is found in the gaps where governments compete for power. In other words, if the government isn't controlling something, you have freedom to go in there and do what you need to do according to natural law. Now, natural law is that you can't do something that's going to hurt somebody else. They have a right to defend against that. If you injure somebody, then you should make reparations to somebody. But in the gaps that aren't controlled by the government, you will still find freedom. But that's getting to be the only place. The law of the vital few. Through history, real freedom ultimately depends on the leadership of a few ordinary people who do extraordinary things. And, you know, those were a bunch of people. They were good people that wrote the Constitution, but they did something really extraordinary, and this experiment is still on. And with divine providence, maybe we'll get to the point where we can... I'm talking. Please interrupt me. Brent just sent, I am a yo-yo. And I said, I'm talking. Please interrupt me. So as soon as he gets back on, come on back. as soon as he gets back, we'll go over to him. But the law of the vital few. Through history, real freedom ultimately depends on the leadership of a few ordinary people who do extraordinary things. You, right now, you may be an ordinary person, but you could be doing extraordinary things at your local level. John's trying to do it on a nation level. You can do these things locally. Get involved and fulfill that mission that was given to you, and that is, you won't find it in the Constitution because it was assumed. These are the things that our founders did, was they oversaw what each level of government does and did. It oversaw what each branch of government did. The law of liberty, another law, another natural law. When freedom is reduced for some, it is reduced for all. So anybody that you think is losing freedom and you see and you can't help them, that affects us all. If every person that's lost some liberty, it's a loss for us all. The law of economy. All powers delegated to government must be entrusted to the lowest level of government that can effectively accomplish the desired goal. Nations that adhere to this principle are consistently strong, vigorous, and vibrant. And that's a hard one to get across to people sometimes, because they say, oh, you can't fight City Hall. Yeah, you can fight City Hall. You can do these things. Do you need to go and understand how their meetings work? Yeah, you do. So that you can come in and they can understand you. You're trying to talk their language and teach them something about the language of common law and the Constitution. You've got to do that with what they're saying in mind. They'll try and turn you every which way. I will keep trying to get in, Terry, please. I put please on there. They'll try and turn you every which way, and you've got to do it, because if we're talking to 100 people, if 8,000 people know something about NLA, if they just started doing these things and just started learning about their local government, it could have an extraordinary effect on their local government, and that's what we want to do. And the last one is the law of progress. The actual level of freedom and prosperity in any society is directly equivalent to the level of free enterprise. So, and that's not capitalism. Capitalism is a half step towards socialism. It brought spectacular growth in our country. But I think we're past it. And I think you're seeing now with Google and everything that, and YouTube and everything that John talked about tonight, that's capitalism. And that's something that has gone a little overboard, and now they control so much they can control you. So the actual level of freedom and prosperity in any society is directly equivalent to the level of free enterprise. Okay, I see we have Brent. Gerard was there for a second. Go ahead, Gerard.
I've been trying to, I could hear, but I couldn't talk. I kept signing back in. I think Brent is in there.
Yep, Brent's in here too.
So I don't know where we were at when he went out. I mean, at some point we could open up. I don't see anybody in my wall. Can't see anybody. I don't see anybody in the queue. There's something screwy going on here tonight.
Yeah,
so
six
Brent wants
in the queue.
Yeah, see, I don't see any of it. It says the queue is empty on my screen. I don't know what if I should. I'm almost
okay,
afraid to go out and come back.
Okay, I've got six people in the
here.
Queue on my screen.
Yeah, see, mine says it's empty. But if Brent is there, well, now he's not there, is he?
Yeah,
is Brent still there?
Yep. He just went back in 2 minutes ago.
Well, let him continue on, and then when he's done, we can open up for questions if everything keeps working that long.
Yeah. Can you hear us, Brent? You appear to be back in.
I don't see him on my screen, but my screen is only half working.
Yeah, he's unmuted.
I see Terry, I see you, I see me.
I think we just lost him again.
Yeah, there's something really screwed up here.
He just flashed off my screen, too.
Yeah, it's not
something. How would you like to proceed, Gerard?
Well, shall we try Q&A?
Well, try it, but you're going to have... I can't run it. My screen is not cooperating.
Okay.
It says it's empty, so... anyway, we'll make an announcement that if anybody has any questions to get in the queue, and we'll let Jan pick them, but...
Okay.
And you'll have to open them up. I can't open them. I don't see them, so I can't do anything with them.
Okay, the first we have is Crystal tonight from Connecticut. It's been a while since she was on. Let me push the button and see what happens. You're unmuted, Crystal.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's 3 months. I haven't, you know. But what's going on up here in Connecticut? Probably stayed my home and everything. And as a matter of fact, I have heard, I think there's a corner to that. We have been doing the people. That's the first sworn affidavit. And today, when I contacted all these so-called politician leaders and all that stuff, now they're all passing the buck stating that, oh, we just got it to office. Oh, they're putting up under the table. You know? And I said under the walls of Great Britain, because a lot of the attorneys up here in Connecticut are now turning in their license or juris number, okay? And you can't even get the juris number. Court closed up here. And, you know, it's just we're staying on course. We're staying on course. It's obvious for it has to be done. And I asked for the subpoena, a sworn affidavit, which I have the affidavit truth because when they started all this mess, our only case you have had anything over $20, you kid could have claimed And as a result, all these attorneys and judges, everybody's jumped the ship now. And with all this mess going on, everybody's trying to pass a couple of people, but to stay focused and stay on course with it. And, you know, because they came after me because I was representing myself in the court. And another thing, too, any time, it's like these attorneys and all the rest of them, you file an affidavit of truth, and you record it, and guess what? And then you want to notarize, because I used to do this work. And they're having a fit now, because they all got caught with treason and lying and perpetrating the fraud. And today the best one was one of the convicts that I called, and said they were all trying to pass the buck. He turns around and says, "Well, I'm new at this." I said, "What do you mean you're new at this? You asked for this position. Nobody did." And they said, "How could you secure one person on the position when you don't even have a sign?" So now I'm making out, well, you got to call this person, you got to call somebody, you got to keep it. You know. But I will be following through tomorrow, and I'm going to, because they stole my home, they stole all my credit, they stole everything from me, and then the credit union stole $250,000 from me. And, so everybody's just talking shit. Because they did it to everyone, basically.
Well, I had a real hard time hearing you on my this microphone of mine, or headphones. Yeah. But I kind of got the gist of it. And I know you're out of your house and you're still fighting over there. And, of course, I know they hate you because you always give them stuff that they can't. They're not comfortable with, obviously. So,
The house is still in my name. So they put somebody in there, and also I'm on YouTube for these deaths, okay? Because the attorney sold the property, put it on the, they put an application of eviction, and then that no good Jennings, who was a retired judge, he in turn goes, "I'll take anything I want to take." And he makes the laws, you know, and stuff like I said to him, I said, "Am I a perfect servant of this court?" He said, "No." I said, "Is this my common law jury?" He said, "No, I'm the common law jury." I said, "Is there a sheriff in the house?" He said, "No, we don't deal with sheriffs. We're good with the marshals." I said, "You just committed treason. I want you to look at me." I said, and you have 6 months. Anytime you put a case in, the case has to be over $20, and you got 6 months to prove that case. They made their own rules, which they got the laws of Great Britain and Hitler. They could steal anything they want to take, and that was that.
Well, this is why we got a lot of cleaning up to do, because everybody's doing their own thing, obviously.
Oh, yeah, well, right now, with all the mess going on, with the police brutality, the legal force, judges, and all that other stuff,
This was an in rem thing they did with you, right? I mean, they took over the property. I mean, you said your name's still on the deed, so I know that when they operate with in rem, they transfer the deed illegally.
Right now, they can't even transfer it. My name is still on it. My property has been paid for, and see, now he's moving some people in there, which they bought stolen goods. It's like if you rob somebody and all of a sudden you go in this.
And you're in Connecticut, so you have no sheriffs is the problem, right?
Nope. And the few sheriffs that they do have, they don't even know the law.
Well, they're appointed if they're sheriffs, right?
Yeah.
They have no elected sheriffs, right?
Right.
Those sheriffs are going to do whatever the executive, whatever their bosses tell them to do, because they're not elected by the people. You have no recourse to.
No. This is what's going on up here. They have the sheriff. No, I'm sorry. Forget about the sheriff. We have the judges and the attorney who are running, wearing both hats.
It's the fox guard in the hen house, basically. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
No, but as I said, right now, it's just like every man is for themselves, because with all this mess coming out with the police brutality and the illegal justice system, you know, they're off. Now, I saw today one of the sheriffs committed suicide. No, I'm sorry. One of the chief of police committed suicide because everybody is on their own. You know? They got away with all this stuff, but, you know.
He probably had crimes he committed and he was ashamed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know for sure, but why would you commit suicide? You know, it looks to sound like he didn't want to face the music. You know, but it's crazy. It's chaos. It's, you know, you're practically anarchy here. Is somebody in your house? Did they sell your house to somebody?
What they did, the attorney followed, he stole my property, put his name on my property. I, in turn, did a quick claim deed. It took the accounts back to my name anyway. So they sold it to these people, I guess, in New York and New Jersey, but they can't change the title on anything. And as a matter of fact, the clerk's office was involved, and I also had the police report, and they were involved too. So, you know.
Well, it sounds like a whole bunch of fraud going on, Crystal. I mean, I don't, you know, it's look at any time an attorney takes a piece of property. First of all, it's a conflict of interest for the attorney to go in and take any piece of property, because now he's got a conflict of interest. What's he doing? He's supposed to be, originally the attorney's representing something, then he turns around, puts it in his name right there. He should be in trouble with his bar license.
Well, of course. And also, I told you about the client security fund. And anybody could file that, because everybody needs to file that. It's the client security fund where they sit here and they steal the property, and they did it under. And the good thing on my application is, was there any police reports? And I, of course, I had everything filed, you know.
So you got that in? You got that report in? It's on file right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's actually a chance that it may actually kick in and somebody will do something, is what you're telling me.
Well, as I said, this is the work I did. I did recording, you know that, so, you know. And do the affidavit of truth. Okay? The affidavit of truth, have it notarized, and then you record it on your deed record. They can't touch a bag or thing.
Well, listen, it sounds to me like your case, I know your case is very well documented, and you're still in there, you're still punching, you're still fighting. So at some point, I would hope that God have mercy on you, and this thing is going to break open. And if anybody should get relief, it'll be you, because you've done so much of documenting and counterclaiming and, you know, moving papers and all this stuff. So, my gosh, if you don't prevail, you know, you might not prevail in this system, but at some point, this system's going to break down very soon. Only thing I hope and pray is that I know you're there, so you should get relief first.
Yeah, but one other good thing about this is when the crazy attorney, one who started it, they all quit. And Mark Krosner started with Lou Bowen and the other one. And also now they all, they want nothing to do with it because they got to call it. They ain't looking at that. But that Mark Krosner, this is what he did. My house, the illegal foreclosure was on the 19th of January, which was Martin Luther King, and the court closed. He turns around in the town clerk, they changed the records on the 18th before it even happened. And that is so prevalent what they did.
Well, look, it sounds to me like you got fraud in RICO, and there needs to be a case. And at some point, these things are going to have to be flushed through. I mean, I'm sure you're not the only one that they did this to. You're probably one of the only ones that stayed in there and fought the way you did. So you have more documentation than the average Joe does, you know. It sounds like you need a case. Somebody's got to investigate, or you need a suit in court that goes there. Actually, really, you should be able to fill out a police report. If we could ever get the police straightened out, you know, that this was fraud and some law enforcement official should be able to run this.
The police report, everything was done. As a matter of fact, when I filed the police report on the attorney, judges, all of them, guess what? The cops, they came and watched it happen, and now they're kind of backpedaling because now they have no recourse. They did so much dirt all these years and they got away with it.
Yeah. Well, it's a mess. I don't know. I can only hope that all the craziness that's going on is coming to a head and that you'll be able to actually see justice here, you know, on a light at the end of the tunnel soon.
I've been working on a lot of things today, but I'll talk to you. I'm going to talk. I don't want to talk too much on this, but I'll talk to you, give you the call tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, try to call me. I'm laid up. I don't know if you know it, but I got injured, so I'm not working now. So I'm home a lot. Give me a call at my number. I'll talk to you. I'm having a real hard time understanding you on this line. We're having a lot of trouble tonight.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead. Call me tomorrow.
I'll call you tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah, and then maybe I can get a better handle on where you're at and what's going on, okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have packages and everything, so, yeah.
Okay, very good. Anyway, it's good to hear your voice. God bless you. And man, if anybody has ever been in a fight, it's you. So we lift you up and we pray for you, okay?
What happened to you, George?
I broke my back.
Oh, my God.
Fell off a ladder, broke my back. So now I'm convalescing.
Okay.
So,
you know what's good for that? When you're on your body, is swimming. This guy broke his back 3 times, and I couldn't believe how he's walking. He swims every day. The water is the best factor.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing very well, but, you know, it's going to take a little time. It's only been a month, but I'm walking now, so.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
All right, well, you take care of yourself.
Okay. God bless, Crystal, and I look forward to your call.
All right, we'll do it.
Okay, bye-bye. So the next caller, I don't know why it does that, it's Anthony Miley.
Yes, this is Anthony from West Virginia. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. My system is working.
Glad yours is, but go ahead.
I noticed. I've been with you since about quarter after nine. I've listened through all the whole thing there. I've got a question. I really like what you guys are doing with this thing that you're submitting. I've been away. You know, I was one of the people who constituted the state of West Virginia, me and two of my friends.
Okay.
And I've been out since about 2015. 2016, I went to school, and I got myself a master's degree, which was kind of good. It was a lot of work and expensive, but it was neat. I finished that. And so now I'm working on a few things. I'm a Trump supporter. I thought I'd check in tonight because there's a lot going on. I started a movement. I hope it's a movement. Been had a radio program for about a year and a half. I just stopped it last week because people weren't listening. I'm working with a program. It's called a Christian Clarion Call for Freedom USA. A Christian Clarion Call for Freedom USA. And what it's morphing into is, like, I'm hoping it will become a group that brings all the different groups together. You know what I mean? Because we're so segmented because we're different. We all have our certain focus, you know. I'm working on a project now, a friend of mine, Zane Lawhorn, and this is really the purpose of my call, but I do have a question about what you guys are doing and what John Darris read earlier today. I'd like to introduce to the National Liberty Alliance. I know we, I say we because I'm still a member of the National Liberty Alliance. I donate every month, you know, it's been doing that for all these years. I just haven't been very active. This is the first call that I've listened to and stuck with since I left those years ago. I've dialed in a couple of times, but I just never stayed with it. But my friend Zane Lawhorn, listen to this. I mean, we love God. God is good. My default saying is we serve an awesome God. God is good. And what do you think about all of us signing a petition that is already on the government website for petitions? If you go to my website, ajmiley.com, you could just click right the link for that petition, go to the government website and sign it, ajmiley.com. Very simple. And the petition is about naming July 14th as a national day of repentance. What do you think of that? Did I drop out?
No. I had to unmute myself. I think I lost it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, listen, as far as I'm concerned, that's what this is about, because we have a chance now, and God expects countries to repent when they're bad. When this nation certainly has had some very bad things to repent for, and I don't mean, you know, us in particular, but we've allowed a lot of stuff to go on in the name of the United States that was very bad.
That's right.
And so, you know, I watched this guy. He was a Jewish rabbi, but he's a messianic rabbi. He converted to Christianity.
Mm-hmm. And
in 9/11, he saw Isaiah playing out. And I don't know if you know Rabbi, I think it's Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and he wrote a couple of books.
Oh, I got his book.
Very good stuff.
I'm reading one of his books right now.
And there was so much things that you couldn't, it was almost scary. Make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, you know. And all this stuff that was out of Isaiah when God punished the Jews because they weren't listening mm-hmm. to him. And he sent, I don't remember if it was the Persians or it doesn't matter, the Syrians. They came in mm-hmm. and they knocked their buildings down. And the Jews, instead of repenting, they didn't take
we're
it right.
We're going to build it better.
That's right. We're going to build it with cut stone, or we're going to plant cedar where you cut our sycamore trees down and all this stuff. Do you know that whole thing played out in 9/11? They actually, you know, in those buildings all fell down, and actually, I think it was the Speaker of the House. What was his name? Was it John Daschle or something? That guy that left in disgrace. He had an affair and all this stuff, but he was at the height of his popularity then, and he actually quoted that scripture about rebuilding with stone, cut stone, and we're going to plant.
I remember that.
he didn't even realize he misread that scripture as a scripture of you know, like fighting and defiance and that, you know, but it really was a scripture of God's judgment
wrath
on a nation.
Yeah.
And what did they do in that St. John's Chapel that's in front of that's right there next, was in the shadow of the two towers. There was a girder that came out of the north tower and flew right for that building. That was the church that, after the Congress was convened, Washington, they walked across the street, and he said, "It's time for prayer now." And he took the whole contingency over there, and he made a prayer about how it would be God that would sustain this country if we stayed true to his word. And that was the only building in that area that didn't get any damage, and there was a big sycamore tree in front of it, and that beam knocked over the sycamore. So in the clean, that church is the only building that suffered no damage, just one cracked window. And, you know, Washington, the plaque of Washington's speech is still in that church. But what did they do? They planted a big cedar where the sycamore got pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut stone out of the Adirondack Mountains here in New York and used it as the cornerstone for the new tower. So they're rebuilding with cut stone. They put a cedar where the sycamore came out. I don't know if they knew what they were doing. And the roots of that sycamore, commissioned some sculptor to bronze it and make a bronze statue out of those roots that ripped out of the ground. And that sits right there, right next to those streets by Wall Street and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And bronze just so happens to be the metal of judgment in the Bible. It signifies judgment. So here's all these things that were playing out. So, yeah, is repentance like a good theme right now? I think so. I think this is our chance. This is our chance.
Me too.
Repentance.
Me too. I'd love to see this go viral.
Yeah, no, look at it. I would tell anybody to sign that petition, but it's crazy not to at this point, right? So, I mean, we would support you with that, and I think it's pertinent. I mean, it's kind of extracurricular, but look at, if anybody's leaning in that direction, they should do it. But
my movement for Christian Clarion Call for Freedom works like this. And people laugh at me when I say this, okay? People laugh at me because they think it's like pie in the sky, but it's numerically possible. Last week, we had on Monday, we had 85 signatures. Yesterday, I don't know what it's at now, but yesterday we had almost 2,000 signatures. And it's been growing fast, and we hope it grows exponentially. See, now, with my movement, we've got enough time until October, because October is the final sign-up day to vote, okay? The final day to get registered to vote is sometime early October, right?
All right.
So we have 22 weeks to reach the entire country. But what I do is I look at what it is to double a penny. But see, the problem with this process is it requires people to take action.
Right.
And most people are so apathetic, they don't want to take action because they don't think anything they do is going to help. They've been brainwashed, you know. But if we can get people activated, just think about doubling a penny. You double a penny for 29 days, and you've got over 500 million pennies. All we need to do is spread by word-of-mouth advertising, talk to one another, and that's what I'm praying this petition turns out to be, a litmus test, that by the end of the 30 days, it'll be June 28th, we have millions of votes. I'm looking forward to millions of votes. So that's why I called basically tonight, was to share with you guys. And I shot Jan. I've got her email address, and I get the weekly newsletter. But I shot Jan a little email with the link, and I'm hoping you guys can maybe put something on your website or get something out like from one of Jan's newsletters so everybody has a chance to click on that link. And I'll leave that up to you guys. I'm not asking you to make a decision tonight, but just I love your feedback, so I appreciate that very much.
Listen, while you're on here, give the website now. It's Anthony. What is
That's
it?
My name.
Yes.
The website is ajmiley.com, www.ajmiley.com. And it's okay. The website for my ministry, which I call Messiah's Mountain Ministries. And so we have a magnanimous message. And the magnanimous message is that we can take our country back. And actually, I share with you, this is the first time I'm putting this public. I'm starting a PAC. I'm starting, hopefully, a super PAC. I've done the research. I know what it takes to get it started. All I got to do is get a bank account. But we want to take our country back from the back door. What the people need, we the people, need a real, honest PAC that can work with Congress from the back. Because once we once we elect somebody to go to Congress, Senate, or the House, they have to do the will of the higher ups, you know?
Anthony,
they get told what to do. Go ahead.
If I don't know if you got screen sharing, but we have a whole page dedicated to you. As our nation under God, we the people ask President Trump to designate July 14th as the National Day of Repentance. Click here to sign the petition. So you got a whole page here dedicated
From
us. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Wow. So I haven't seen that page.
I just wanted to let
page.
You know that. So look at things are coming together.
I clicked on the page today, but I didn't see that.
No, it's there.
Thank you so much.
It's right on the front. It's right on the front page.
Wow.
Go on.
I've been there today, but I didn't. I just went by it real quick. I was trying to get the number here for this phone call because it changed.
Right.
Wow, that's really great. Well, thank you for doing that.
We just put it up so
it.
It might not have been there when you went in, but it's there now. If you go look and see it.
Great.
It's
great.
Done deal. And look, we'll be in touch. Don't be a stranger.
Okay.
You know?
I know you gotta go, but the short story is I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to talk to somebody, dialogue with them about this. I think that we the people can take our country back through the back door by getting into the operation of Congress where it really matters, where the money is, because we're cut out of that. The people need a super PAC to represent them so we can overpower all the special interest groups. That sounds so simple, and I think it'll work.
Well, hey, just to let you know, I just put that up there when you were talking. I was listening to what you were saying.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. But, I appreciate that. Long time no talk to.
Yeah, it's been a while. By the way, we do have a plan. We do have a plan to deal with Congress and the whole political process through the elected committeemen. So you might want to look into
great.
That.
Well, I'm back, and I'm going to continue my education. I'm a
and
member.
And if you tie in with any groups, and we try to tie, you know, anybody group that would, you know, receive our message and if we're compatible, we can work together. This is all about bringing
Great.
Groups together.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I appreciate that so much. We'll talk in the future. I'm going to be making this regular part of my week, and it's great to be back and in the fray with you guys in the fight. I haven't stopped fighting. I just haven't been checking in with you guys very much. But anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. We'll
be working together.
So.
22 weeks we got. That's what we got.
Okay.
And if I'm back to 29 days. I think we could reach the entire country in 29 days if everybody talked to somebody and we doubled ourselves every day. But who's going to do that much work?
We don't have 29 weeks.
22 weeks.
We don't have 22 weeks. We have about 6 weeks.
To what?
To July 14th.
I know. No, we're talking
about
October. I'm
sorry. October, whatever, like 9th is the last day you can register to vote.
What we're doing now. What
I was
we're doing
confused.
With the, no, I confused it because you didn't hear me the first time. But
okay,
what's
good.
Happening is that this is the litmus test. I call it the litmus test with this petition. My friend Zane Lawhorn, he's run for office here, a really great fellow. I'm going to church with him now. And he set up this petition. When you see ZL on the government website, that's Zane. And he's run for office. He's just, you know, he's preparing himself. They're going to elect him when we really need him. And so we got like 26 days or 21 days or something to get this done. And I'm just looking to get millions of votes instead of 100,000. So let's see what we can do, guys. And I'll be checking in with you again, and I'll let you go. And thank you so much, John. I sure appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. God bless.
God bless you. So, Barbara, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Barbara from New York. I just wanted to say that I found out today that the New York Bar Association came out with a report. I got the email today from the Children's Defense Fund, the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization, and they came up with it's called a report on health task force for COVID-19. And they're saying that it's kind of a long paper with a bunch of chapters, and it says that there needs to be a mandatory vaccination for all New Yorkers and beyond to the whole country. And Robert F. Kennedy is asking for people to write letters and to sign a petition saying no to it. And he's also getting people together on this Saturday the 13th in Albany. So wanted to bring that up.
Isn't there a bill in the Senate, H.R. 666, that has all that tracking, tripping, and stuff in it?
That's right.
What's coming up now. Now you're saying this here thing is just for New York?
Yeah, they say it's for New York. They're saying everyone in New York should be subject to it, and it's a report. And so they've written, you know, a very long report on it and why it's necessary.
Nothing's going to come of that though. I mean, look, the only thing that's going to do is raise gun sales. That's about it.
Yeah, nobody's going to acquire. If they think they're going to get everybody to vaccinate, they're out of their minds. But we still have to fight it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't cooperate with it.
Get a group of concerned people in your area and make an appointment with the sheriff and go talk to him about it and ask him what he's going to do about it if they come to your house to put a needle in your arm.
We don't have a sheriff here. Westchester.
What state and county are you in?
Westchester.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We'll loan you a sheriff if you need one.
That's horrible, isn't it? Really, you can't even get real protection.
Does McKinsey have a? You say it has a good one, a good sheriff?
I'm sorry. Yeah, we have a sheriff. It's Dutchess County.
Live there.
Huh?
I lived there a long time ago.
Yeah, Dutchess County.
So get in your car and drive to Poughkeepsie and stand behind John Sheriff.
Okay.
Right, my sheriff's on board here.
It's good. Really, we need to get more sheriffs on board. And look, it doesn't just have to be a sheriff. All these officers take an oath. And that oath is to uphold the Constitution. So they all should be upholding the Constitution. I don't care if they're a sheriff or they're not a sheriff. They take an oath to that Constitution, and these things are clearly, clearly a violation of unalienable rights. Clearly. And so they really need to get behind their oath. That's a big thing. And I don't, you know, however, wherever they took their oath, it's, you know, they put their hand up and they swore, and they need to actually exercise it now by not enforcing that. And I think you're going to hear a lot of voices as that gets closer. You know, it's going to be a big, loud yell right now because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but most of that crowd is really a minority. They want us to think they're majority, but they're really not.
They're trying to just intimidate people.
Absolutely. Well, because the media is managed, and they're only going to tell you bad things about what's going on. They're never going to tell you, you know, the good stuff that's going on. And
you know, it's funny, you know, when I had this, I applied for a firearm, and I got this NICS report that said, you know, something went wrong. So I said, well, what do I do? And so they gave me the name of a sheriff, and I spoke to one, and I don't, now it doesn't add up. Could it be possible that I can talk to the next closest sheriff?
Sheriff's really, his jurisdiction is his county. He's going to have a hard time leaving his county to go into the next county. But in an emergency situation where, like, now we've got a lot of rioting and stuff going on, this is why we should have been building our militias up. You know, they talk about, oh, is the president going to use the National Guard and the military to quell this stuff? Which I believe, if they're tearing the streets down and they can't be stopped any other way, yeah, certainly has an authority to protect lives and property. But look, at the militia is local people taking care of local problems. That's where we need to be. And you know, the word militia was always a bad word for many years. You couldn't say it. They acted like you were some kind of sovereign citizen, you know, terrorist. Uh-huh. But that's not the case anymore. So we even have militias in the area. You need to find out who they are and where they are, you know, and people need to come out and basically stand in the street. And when this cover goes down, I can't see them going door to door. That's not going to work. Because
it's not going to happen.
Like, she doesn't have a sheriff, so what are they going to do? They're going to go to every house in Westchester,
you know,
and start?
The only good news for that particular problem is we have been thinking and planning about doing something in a federal court concerning the lack of a sheriff in these seven counties, because there's seven counties altogether here in New York that don't have sheriffs. And we're thinking of including in that lawsuit also Connecticut, because Connecticut's both goes by. They got only eight counties, and they've lost their sheriffs altogether. They did it through referendum. Is that how you pronounce that? Referendum.
Right.
Which is not possible. You can't vote away common law. You can't vote away the only common law protector. There is no common law if there's no law enforcement, no protection of that law, and. So we are planning to do that, but you're rekindling my thinking on this, and you know, maybe we got paperwork we got to finish up on, and who knows, maybe next month we can work on that case and get it moving into the courts anyway, because it is a serious problem.
Believe that is ridiculous. That's like saying we're going to get rid of the House of Congress by referendum. We only want a Senate and
Why don't we just get rid of the police departments, too?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that, too. They're promising to do that. So, you know what? All those policemen, you got to make sure they join your militia.
Yeah.
You know, because
these people
they're out of a job, and they know what to do.
Are you saying I could actually talk to, head of police and see if they would be on board?
Well,
with...
you know, that's a good possibility. There is a problem down there.
They have an oath of office, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is a problem down there. I was approached by the police chief down there, and he was going after corruption in within the political system down there, and they shut him down everywhere. And he came up to talk to me to see if I can help him out and what we could do. You know, I wish it was today, because my knowledge is a lot better than it was back then, which was only a few years ago, when he was asking. And I gave him some thoughts and some advice. You know, if we could have done something in the court, which at that point in time we weren't doing anything in the court yet, we would have been more helpful for him and to do that. But we did offer to write papers, but he was threatened. He had all kinds of problems. So there is a lot of corruption down there. So, and remember, the problem with the police force is that they work for the government. The state police work for the governor. The city police work for the mayor. And the town police work for whatever they have, mayors or councils or something and so on. So, you know, they all work for a political individual. They take their orders from them. That's why we need a sheriff who works for no one but his conscience and the law.
Well, at least with your town police, they're working for a town board, which is like five people. So you have a little more control over them, because you always go grab your town board and bring them out for a public hanging or something and change their mind real fast. But you know, the state police, what are you going to do, cry to Cuomo? That's like useless. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I know a lot of troopers, and I know a lot of good troopers, and you're going to be surprised how many of them are not going to follow those orders. You know, I mean, I know some of them will, or, you know, I don't even think it's a majority, but when it gets real dicey, they're not going to do it, because they live in the area, their families are in the area, and look, if they're going to do anything like that, they're going to have to use foreign troops or something. It's just, and that's going to be a nightmare. They don't want to do that.
So, no, it's you know, yeah.
They've been wearing us down for years.
Yeah, too late for foreign troops. Trump's in the office.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a war.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
I can see it in, like, we have a school board vote tomorrow. The school board, they're having these online meetings now because, of course, we can't vote in person because it would, you know, it would obviously endanger
health. No, but you can go
to
Walmart. So, that's okay.
Yeah. So, but you
they
can,
should
I
turn
can
the cash registers into voting machines because we could use them.
Yes, you're right. But I can just see how the school system has been captured, and then when we go to meetings about planning for, you know, whatever, you know, changing a zone or something, you know, the mayor's office is like a mess, and it's like, where is it okay? But I don't know, the police could be different. The police stand, like there's two policemen who stand during the meetings that we have with the village. And I don't know, I guess I get the feeling that maybe they would be reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, it doesn't hurt to talk to them. I don't, you know,
okay.
Open a dialogue with them. And
okay.
It would help if you would go with more than one person. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, if they think you have a dialogue in the neighborhood, they're more apt to listen, you know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I don't know what else to tell you except for, you know, look, things are moving along and we're moving things and people are fed up. So it's like that hundred monkey syndrome where one monkey started washing the coconuts and she taught another monkey. And when the 100th
uh-huh.
monkey learned, this is a study they did. They said all of a sudden, all the monkeys were washing the coconuts, even on islands that weren't connected. So there was this force that went out, almost like an instinct. Well, you know, hopefully that's what's going to happen to the people, that they're going to get it. They're going to wake up. And that's kind of like where we're looking. We've been operating for years, and we believe in that domino theory. When the first domino falls, it hits the second, hits the other, and you have this whole avalanche. And we're kind of experiencing that now because we got some good things going on. I'm very encouraged by what's going on. And I think the dominoes has already fell. But because we're in the middle of it, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. They're starting to fall now. And, of course, you know, these crazy, maniac, maniacal, demonistic news people, they're never going to let you know what's really going on. They're going to lie to the bloody end because that's what the devil does, and that's who their father is. That's who they're working for. Make no mistake about it. They're working. We're fighting against powers and principalities, but I'm telling you, I believe they're losing. And that saying where he says, if those people who call themselves by my name would turn away and plead to him that he would heal their land, I'm paraphrasing. We don't know what that number is.
They humble themselves and confess their sins.
Confess their sins that he would look at them and heal their land. Now, how many people does that take? We might already have that critical mass. I don't know. But until it happens, we have to keep pushing. But I do believe that we're going to get there. And look, we didn't deserve Donald Trump coming in as president and doing what he did. And, you know, look, and he's not perfect and by any stretch of the imagination, but the things that he has done, he's done more stuff to put a hurt on them than anybody else ever has. He's done more things in a shorter period of time. It has to be blessing from God, because there isn't any one man who could accomplish this. I mean, he's up against a monolithic, you know, beyond imagination evil. And you can see it. And we say, oh, no, no foreign troops. Yeah, we have foreign troops. They're called Antifa and all these other people that they bring in. And the thing is that they're not a good army. And if the, God forbid, they ever cut themselves or they will run with their tail between their legs.
I've heard them as recover.
Those are the armies, and right now they're emboldened, but the minute that there's pushback, they'll vanish like a puff of smoke.
And well, X-22 reported, I'm trying to think when it was last week, it had to be last week. And the question was asked, one of the nuns asked Q the question, when is Trump going to deploy the, I don't remember what words they used, the militia, the troops, whatever it was, I forget the word. And Q responded back, and he said that they already have been deployed and that they have been removing assets, moving assets. Now, I'm not sure what exactly that means. I know Dave on X-22 wasn't sure either, but he thought maybe going out and capturing and moving the heads of these groups. That's the thought, but I don't know. Things are happening. There are a lot of things going on we don't know about, but we'll hear about them.
Look, you're not going to see in the normal newspaper, they won't tell you, but Idaho, this Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, stands up to Antifa. They planned on doing a protest there, and the whole town came out with AR-15s, lined the streets.
They saw
these two big Mercedes buses dropping the people off. Some of the guys had crowbars in their hand. These guys walked up to them, made them give up their crowbars. These Antifa guys were sitting on bricks, 2x2x2, and they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
Right.
And they left because there was too many people with guns. There was not one window broken. So the people came out and they protected their town. You see, I don't know if you have seen the pictures of New York City, but downtown Wall Street and all that, it's completely decimated. No windows. And there's buildings still burning. No fire trucks. It's ridiculous.
Really?
It's disgusting. Oh, I got a video. John, did I send you that video, John?
I didn't see that one. I don't know that I want to.
This is after the fact. All the buildings are boarded up.
Yeah, I know. It's depressing.
A couple of them still burning, and then they come. Then they went by the Gucci bags and stuff. It's perfect. It's in perfect shape. And the guy said, "How could it be in perfect shape?" And the other guy says, "I don't know. Maybe there's nothing good in there." The guy said, "No. You don't understand. Donald Trump owns that building." I don't know if they didn't touch it because Trump owns it, or Trump actually had maybe some forces there guarding it, you know. But I thought that was pretty funny. But look, New York City is done. Downtown, you know, Wall Street and all that is disgusting.
Really?
You know, all the stores where the Rolex store and all that, they're bombed out, burned out, broken. I mean, I can't believe they allowed that to happen. Really,
you know. I get the other times when they say very far left communist, fighters or come in externally, but then the other sources say, oh, we have there's such a racial problem in America. But you know, I think I understand this 100 Monkey thing because I was watching this discussion about immoral movies and content that is really bad for children and everyone back in 1995. And there were three, it was on a program called Think Tank, and there were three people. One was Judge Bork, and then there was a journalist, and then there was an academic. And all three of them, they had a few things to say, but all three of them were completely against it. They were saying, this is bad, this hurts people. And I keep thinking that all these perversions of our culture are, it's all top down. We're being fed this top down. It's like, take this, take that. This is what you need. You need, all this, demoralized sexuality.
programming, because that's exactly what they're doing.
We're at the point of the Great Awakening. Like, a lot of people are talking about that, and I agree with that. The people's perception is going to be a major, major change worldwide in the next year or so.
So anyway,
I think I can see it coming as well. Really.
Anyway, we got one more person. I want to go. Actually,
I think we got two.
Oh, well, hang on. I can't get to that screen. Can I push the next one here?
I'll push the next button.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I feel better for hearing all that.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, next person's up.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Rod. How you doing, Dan?
Hello.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Gerard, Dan's up.
Okay. I sure would like for Mr. Brent to be able to have more time to speak, but anyway, it looks like we're running out of time. I heard the information there about comment about lawlessness. If everybody will meet, at least write this down in the Holy Scriptures, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and through 8. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, in the sentence there, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will stay with, with the breath. With the breath. And that's a reference to New American Standard. I thought that would be interesting there with what Mr. Rent was saying earlier. Actually, I'd like to move on from that particular passage there. And the last couple of times, I've tried to be on in the queue, and things have, you know, happened and such that didn't have to do have time, and we had to sort of pass on things. I heard this lady tonight, and my heart goes out for that lady, and I certainly know that Mr. Gerard will be a lot of help to her, as he promised. There's some research that I came across last time while we had the conference call, and I shared a lot of different research and sent it to Mr. Jan's email. I hope that this can be reviewed and then could be a benefit for you guys that handle these calls for particular situations that, just like tonight, this lady's been fighting for her home. Gosh, folks, that is just top priority for National Liberty Alliance, and we should spend some area of research of, and I believe if you'll review what I've sent to Jan, I've spoken with him, and he knows a lot of this information could be very beneficial. So I behoove you guys to review what I've sent in research. And I actually have about 20 more different emails that could come in, which could really shed a lot of light and be an insight. And I know there's no better guys or better prepared. I just get amazed with here Gerard or Mr. Brent, and most definitely Mr. John and the other gentleman there. I don't know him as well, but he was talking tonight. He gave us some outstanding information. So with that said, instead of me trying to tell you what I struck with the county, I don't think we've got enough time here, but I'll tell you what I did learn from that research for just a minute or so. After all the times of trying to gain a remedy, the serious situations where the county is affecting our homestead, and like this lady tonight, that again my heart goes out for, I've been there, and knowing what it is to have to fight concerning that, and so I'm saying this, hopefully, it'll benefit. Can't do everything tonight, but I learned what is called a forged deed or forgery deed. It automatically becomes fraudulent, and the content is by the author who puts it on record as being deceptive of the truth. So there is technically perjury, fraud, automatically in law, in that instrument, if you could call it an instrument. And the good news is, lady, if that's happened to you, I hope you're still on, that forged deed that I heard Miss Gerard possibly talking about that might have happened to you is instamatically and forever, and before it ever became a record, completely of no validity, and it is technically would be of no value to anyone that is trying to defraud that lady that was on there tonight. So it is completely, the word is void, V-O-I-D, in every way. And this is some of the research that I've sent on to Mr. Jan. And, of course, in closing, there is so much that I could further say, and we'll have to do this at another time, concerning commercial liens. And I'm sure that Mr. John Durash and even Mr. Brent mentioned last week that he'd like to speak more about allodial title. Surely, though, we need to take deed of Mr. John Durash very shortly and soon, less than 5 months away, and I'm about ready to close, is our new president of coming in to this helm and fighting like we need, I pray. And I pray that that will be the wonderful blessings of a businessman that's in power at this minute. He's not perfect, but I can sure tell you he is, when it comes down to running this government and what's best for all people, he's as close to perfect as I've ever met. Thank you for allowing me to make this comment.
Okay, we appreciate that. And listen, that lady that was on tonight, she's done something to her deed that they have not been able to get it out of her name. She's done some pretty amazing work. So I'm going to relay to her some of the stuff that you said. And so, like, she's still fighting, even though they did capture her deed and try to put another name on it. But for some reason, she did a couple things a while back with the deed, and she's got her name on there, and they're unable to get it off. So she's already halfway there. They haven't. And so this lawyer sold it with her name still on the deed. He's really bad. Whatever he's doing, obviously he doesn't care.
I'll give you one just little hint. The information that will assist you, please get this information from Jan. And if not, you call me in person, and Jan will know. But this one thing that you do need to hear is, and this is what I have come to revelations real quickly, is any clerk, any official, and any of these municipalities, county seats, whatever, where public records are being housed, I can tell you right now, anybody that affects the integrity of this lady that was on there tonight or tries to put stuff undercover, under the rug, or comes in a certain way and publishes or puts in those public records anything but the truth, they are in serious trouble, and I can tell you they will be removed from wherever they're working at, in a clerk's office or register of deeds or whatever, and fined. And that research is definitely, if you don't find this, get up with me and I'll send you. There was about 20 emails. Chan can attest to this. I'll send you guys more well-respected and appreciated to the law of in various states and what the intent and what the has to be, and also what the punishment for those type of clerks. This is a big problem, and it is at the heart of how I've heard just countless of conferences where Mr. John Durash would pour his heart out to these people, and you too, Gerard, and others, and Brent, and so forth, so to help those people in need. Now, if they don't get due process law, folks, make no mistake, ring John Durash, Gerard, Brent, ring their numbers, because they can carry. If you don't get due process law, Mr. John will tell you that's fraud. Automatically, they can the powers of the be will be leveled, the playing field, because these guys know what they're doing. John Durash and those guys with NLA will go to federal court for you because you have a clear case of violation of due process law.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, thanks.
Well,
it's 12:08. I got James from Oregon. I'm going to quick open him up because he's been there a long, long time. So go ahead, James. What can we
Hi,
do?
Hi, this is Donna. I don't have a question tonight, but I do have something I'd like to share on the upside. God is good, and I appreciate you guys' perspectives. I was just told by some very special people that live up in the Arizona mountains in a relatively small town that Antiva was advertising that they were coming into the town. So the people in that town, they have really formed a good, I guess it's a militia of their own,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to protect their city. So there were about, I don't know, 14 to 20 men. They're allowed to pack guns up there, so they were all wearing their guns. And Antifa came and saw on a bus and saw them out there with their guns. And so these guys got off the bus, and then they saw the guys from the town, and they got back on the bus and left.
Imagine
so
that.
I thought that was. That's what you were saying. Isn't that awesome news? You know, people are thinking.
Yeah, because they're not sitting there with rubber bullets. this is real now,
yeah.
You know. And this is people's lives and property. And guess what? Like Brent was saying, and if somebody's in the process of committing a felony, and it's pretty much the same in every state, that you can stop them. You know, I mean, you see somebody running away with an old lady's purse, you could actually shoot them in the back by law. I mean, I don't know that I would do that, but, you know, that is the law. They're in the process of committing a felony, and you're there seeing them, and so you can stop them. I mean, it doesn't even have to be on you. It could be just you witnessing it. So they get that a lot better out west than they do over here in the Northeast. But, I mean, we got a lot of good people in the mountains that are just like that. But when you get towards Jersey and New York City, it's a completely different world. It's like leaving the earth and going up to Mars. So.
Oh, dear. Well, the other part I forgot to mention was I was told that in the nation they had the only Trump store. I'd never heard of a Trump store. I think you just mentioned that there was some other Trump store. And
well,
so
he owned the building he only owned the building that Gucci was renting from him.
Okay, well, this one is a regular Trump store for Trump.
Yeah, I think he has stores,
yeah. Yeah, and so they were protecting it, and that's why Antifa decided to hit right there, I guess.
Right.
So I was impressed. I'm glad. That's positive.
So that's good. Good news. We're going to sign off with that. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week, same time. And hopefully we'll have a whole lot less trouble than we had this week with our electronics or whatever. I think that there's a hit here. I don't know. I can't help but be paranoid. But anyway, it is what it is, and we got through it. So Thank God for that. And we'll see everybody here next week. Have a good night, everybody.
Recording has started.